You're listening to the Musical Ecologies Radio Hour. I'm your host, Dan Joseph, and once a month we bring you a mix of conversations and musical selections featuring artists presented on the Musical Ecology series in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I invite you to visit our website for all the details about our artists and upcoming events at musicalecologies.net. For tonight's program, we'll revisit our event with Craig Shepherd and Beth O'Brien on Friday, May 29th, which focused on their collaborative multimedia project, On Foot Brooklyn. The evening began with a conversation between me and the artists, and we'll begin our broadcast right there, at the Old Stone House in Washington Park. Great. So I'd like to try to kind of get a little bit of background on the whole project, how we came to be in this moment together, and so we're here tonight focused on Foot Brooklyn, which is a major project that both of you have been working on for, I guess, a number of years now, right? I think I should just mention that on our series here, we did host Craig and Beth previously in a earlier iteration of On Foot Brooklyn in 2012. So it's very exciting to come full circle here. So maybe we could just begin with a little background on really how On Foot Brooklyn really came about. So maybe you could speak to that first, Greg.
In 2005, I walked across Switzerland, which was a 250-mile walk in 31 days. Every day I wrote a piece and performed it outdoors. I moved to New York City in 2006 and had two problems connected with my creative work. One was I didn't have a workspace. It's common for many New York artists. It's difficult to have space. And two, it was difficult to find free time.
Free time.
I had seen that I spent an hour to an hour and a half every day going back and forth to the office. And so I had seen a picture of the blackout. I think it was 2003.
Mm-hmm. I was here. I remember it.
And I had seen people walking over the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what happens if I walk to the office? And I tried it one day, and it took me about an hour and a half. And I said, well, if I walk to and from the office every day, from the previous project, I already knew that I worked really well, composed really well while I was walking. And so I thought, if I walk to and from the office every day, that's 3 hours of usable creative time.
Ingenious. Ingenious.
So
just give me an idea of how it is that you work while walking. I mean, I think it's understood in general in terms of the creative process that it's going on all the time in many ways. But tell me a little bit more about how it works in your life when you're walking.
Well, a lot of people have noticed that they get really good ideas when they're washing the dishes or brushing their teeth or in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I'll use the pun. I stumbled into it on the first project. The first one was really just because I had been organizing an extensive tour and it all fell apart and I wanted to do a tour as simple as possible. So that's why I walked across Switzerland. But on that walk, it became very clear how easy it was for me to get work done while I was walking. And I had read some works of pedagogy that people learn. Some are oral learners, some are visual learners, some are kinetic learners, and some need to learn through motion. And so I kind of made that connection. And the way it worked on this project is before I left the house, I would make a couple of notes. Just look at something. One day in particular, I went through every different variation of a three-note chord. Mm-hmm. So, do, mi, so, do, so, mi, mi, so, do, mi, do, so, and then in different inversions. So then, mi, mi, so, do, mi, do, so, and the whole thing. And then I just started walking. And I'd usually, all different ideas would come and go, and I'd be thinking about the laundry and about the electric bill. And then sometimes, not every walk, but sometimes a very clear melody would come to me. And I would hum it and keep working on it, and then it would become a little bit clearer. Mm-hmm. One of the pieces that you'll hear later tonight, the second piece, you'll note it because it's extremely quiet, was one of those where the melody just came to me one note at a time as I was walking.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. So initially then, at least in your Brooklyn walking experience, it was an idea to give yourself some creative time to do some creative work and fit it into your otherwise busy working life. But if I understand correctly, then at a certain point, the walking became something, I think, much larger. Is that right? I mean, to the extent to which you started walking as a practice or for its own sake, do I have the story right? I mean, your walking became something more than just a way to get to work, shall we say, and compose.
That's correct. It was, and this was something that when I began the project, I didn't realize that was going to happen. Uh-huh. And it didn't really become apparent until I was joined on some of the walks by others. So on every Sunday, I would lead a silent cell phone free walk to the performance site for that week and then back again. And it became very clear to me when walking in silence with someone else that walking itself was the creative part. Uh-huh. That it wasn't just a means to an end, that there was something else going on in that experience. I had had previously, moving to New York was really disorienting for me, and I really had a hard time getting around. Some people would say, oh, come out to this concert, and it would be in some neighborhood I never knew, didn't know how to get there. And I would go in the subway and pop up in this neighborhood and have this moment of really being disoriented, not knowing where I was, not having a connection to other places I had been. And one day on my way to work, rather than take the subway, I walked part of the way, not the whole way. And from that time on, that stretch of the subway, I had a different relationship to it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I had known that as well. So part of the reason to walk throughout Brooklyn was so that I could actually not be disoriented mm-hmm. at home where I lived.
Excellent. So really getting to know Brooklyn, tool. That was a big part of it as well.
Right.
Okay, well, So are we all clear so far? It's a big story, right? So it's a big project. So at some point then Beth became involved. So how to tell us how you got involved and
sure.
And yeah.
Okay. So when I first met Craig, he was finishing the first On Foot, he was finishing the CD for the first On Foot project. So he did that in 2005, and the CD was 2011.
That would be the CD for the Swiss.
For the Swiss one.
So
right.
So just to recap, so the Swiss project of walking produced a number of compositions, which you then realized in different situations, including in recording studios, which produced a CD. Right. Okay. So that's that.
So that was my first introduction to Craig, mm-hmm. and I immediately was inspired by this project. I just found something very interesting in it. And so when he you know, was talking to me about his plans for the On Foot Brooklyn project, which is 3 months of walking.
3 months.
With, you know, walking everywhere he went for 3 months.
So everywhere, not like your entire 3 months were spent on foot, just to be clear on that. No other means of transportation. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Just wanted to clarify that. Yes.
And so there's many parts to the project, right? And then one of the parts is that every Sunday he would do a walk that he had pre-mapped out, starting in Greenpoint to a different destination in Brooklyn.
Which is where you were living and continue to be living in Greenpoint.
And if you see in the book, there's a map that has all those walks.
Right.
And so these 13 walks that happen every Sunday for 13 weeks.
Right.
Was the part that inspired me to join, basically. That so I've been doing photography on the street, you know, for like 20 years. It's been just an ongoing project. It's one of the ways I like to work is to walk around and just explore and mm-hmm. find spaces to mm-hmm. photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And but the other thing, and one thing that I find that in creative projects that I work well within parameters. And like very defined parameters to, mm-hmm. to finish a project. And so here was, the parameters were set. You know, there were these 13 walks that were very specific routes.
Right.
And so I decided that I would follow the routes of his walks every Sunday and photograph along
mm-hmm.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's what, and the photographs are from.
That's right.
So they cover, so I covered all of Brooklyn following him on the walks to photograph.
Right. So. I think it's clear to everyone at this point that we're celebrating the artwork, the photographs, but also the completion of a book that collects texts and photographs from this whole project. So it's wonderful that we could pull all this together. But okay, so back to the pictures though. So all of the pictures that we're seeing here and that are contained in the book were all taken during one of these 13 silent walks that were designed by Craig as part of the project that culminated in a performance by Craig on his trumpet, right? Okay, so a lot of the pictures have that, right? I mean, some of them have Craig playing his trumpet, but other pictures. So I guess what I want to know more about your visions or what you were seeing and how you approached both the general documenting, but also the eventual, you know, selection of pictures and so on, because it obviously seems to offer a broader kind of experience than the actual musical and mm-hmm. choreographed sort of part of the project.
I also wanted to mention that I actually was doing sort of two projects. I photographed along the walks, but then at the performances, at each of the performances, each of the 13 performances, I took photographs, but what I did was I set up my camera on a tripod uh-huh. with a shutter release. And from the point of before he walks into frame to start his performance till the end, I took photographs by shutter release. So there'll be a couple thousand photographs of the performance.
Wow.
From beginning to end of each 13 performances.
So you're saying you had it in a time thing where you just stepped away from it and it
No,
just...
I did it. It was purposefully. I wanted to do it by choice.
I see. So you were standing nearby.
Yeah.
By the camera and just.
Right, and watching what was happening, and the idea was to improvise in relation to the performance and what was going on, taking the photographs. And this is sort of an outgrowth of another way of working that I'd been exploring mm-hmm. for many years, and it actually started with my thesis show in college. I wanted to do an installation with projected video, but because of the sort of the way the different departments worked, I couldn't get access to video equipment without being it. Something about the way my school was, so the departments were different, and so I ended up working with slide projectors that I made sequences of photographs that would project in order
mm-hmm.
In an installation. And so I started to become really interested actually in working that way. So choosing still frames in sequence as a way of showing motion, but I liked the idea that I could choose which still frame that you saw, as opposed to video, which is, you know, or film, you know, 24 or 30 frames per second that you don't choose.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. The pigeon trying to get in. And so that's what I was doing at each performance, and that's what you'll see tonight as part of the the video and music performance.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So at a certain point in the development of this project, which I guess can we say how long it's been happening on foot, Brooklyn? The 3 month period. When was that?
That was February 21st, 2012 through May 21st, 2012.
Okay. So from that point, so since that time there've been various kind of, I guess, iterations of On Foot Brooklyn, and one of them that's developed is these presentations or performances, I guess we would call them, that you do together. And as I said, you did one of them here in 2012, and you've been doing them around the country. I don't know, have you done any outside of the U.S.? I know you've done a little jaunts, little tours around the East, the West, anywhere out of the country? I'm just out of curiosity. It's been mostly throughout the United States then.
Well, also in Düsseldorf, Germany.
Düsseldorf, okay. So when did that begin? And just describe a little bit about the type of presentation and how it's developed and how it relates to what you're going to do tonight.
The first one was in June of 2012 at the invitation of John Hastings at Presents Gallery. That was as intended as a completion of the 2012, of the 91-day project with some of the musicians, Katie Porter, Devin Maxwell, who I performed, Jack Callahan, who I performed during some of the performances. And then we had, shortly after that, another invitation. And it was never, I don't think either of us saw that this was going to be such fruitful ground for us. So there's a CD, there are a score collection of scores,
right.
and now the performance with video and the book. I don't think either of us thought that it was going to be that, that it was going to release that much energy for us, but so that was the first performance,
right.
And we found that it worked well. I don't think either of us were completely satisfied with that first one.
Was it using, you were using a video projection and at that time as well? Or,
yeah.
So had you already begun documenting? Well, okay, so you, of course you did document the original.
I had all those
photos. So you already have the photos.
Yeah.
Okay, so the template was established even then by June 2012, the idea of a sort of an audio-visual experience wherein you realize with whomever you're with whatever performance you're working with at that time, some versions of the pieces and with visuals. So, but it's developed somewhat since then, or
it's changed a lot,
right?
Yeah.
Since the first time. So when I began doing the photographs of the performances and the photographs on the street, we were discussing this as we were calling them parallel projects. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't saying I was doing, because On Foot Brooklyn was his project, and I was inspired by it to follow and
right.
do, you know, my photography and the video that I was interested in. And it was only after it had completed and we started to look at ways that we could collaborate, like the videos I had made in combination with his scores played live. And it started out, you know, I mean, one thing that's really nice about doing these performances that I've enjoyed is the way that it has progressed over time, and that you can shift things. You know, you can do a performance and then see what worked and what didn't work, and the next time you can try something a little different until we've arrived at this way we do the performance is we've done a number of times with little changes.
So this is kind of the definitive
Well, there's always something. I mean, in any live performance, right, it's always going to be different,
sure,
somehow. But sometimes we switch to what pieces are played. Right. Yeah.
Well, now I've attended some of these more recently. I think certainly last year, last summer, at one point, and I seem to recall spoken word or reading of texts. And I gather these are some of the same texts that are collected in the newest book. So just to be clear, there's an earlier book, which is primarily the scores reproduced, right, of both the On Foot project in Switzerland and On Foot book. Is that correct?
No. There is a book out for On Foot Switzerland with text and scores and some photographs. There are a collection of On Foot Brooklyn scores. And now there is the On Foot Brooklyn book.
I see. So the earlier book is Switzerland-based.
That's correct.
And then the collection of scores are a collection of postcards. Just Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay, so now we have a book that's a new book, hardbound, I might add, very beautifully done, that is solely dedicated to On Foot Brooklyn, which has mostly photographs and texts, no scores that I'm aware of, right?
That's correct.
So the text, let's talk about a little bit of the text and how they came about and what they explored for you. Just briefly.
The original impetus was to raise funds for the book, actually. I didn't really intend to do extensive writing, but I felt, and some of you who receive my emails know this, that I just had a really hard time just sending out an email without offering something. I wanted it to be something that someone might be interested to read. They might not read it, but at least they have the chance to scroll down and learn, get something more than just an event listing.
Right, right.
And there was a fundraiser for the photo book. And as part of that, each week I'd write another piece, an essay.
An essay.
Mm-hmm. And after that, I saw this. Well, actually, some of these are pretty good. this is pretty. They needed a lot of work. And Martine Bellin, who's not here tonight, but she is a poet and did a wonderful job editing, and that. So they do. The original essays were one for each week, and then some of them just. And so the strongest ones are collected there.
And, mm-hmm. And so these essays are just kind of reflections on the actual, a particular event or part of the walks.
That's correct.
I see. And just kind of recounting some of the experience and. So that's most of the text that are included in the book, and so sometimes these texts come up in your presentations as well. Is that right? I mean, those texts. I mean, that
we did last year. We did include it. You will not hear a reading tonight.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Don't want to give any false expectations.
Okay. Well, I think I'm just trying to explore or you know, touch on the, you know, what I feel is sort of the all-encompassing kind of nature of this project. I mean, it seems like a very, you know, it's a very broad conceptual experience, this On Foot Brooklyn. So I just wanted to mention that and explore that. So one more thing I want to explore a little bit is the walking a little bit more in depth, because you know I know what you're up, somewhat what you're up to with the walking, and I just think it's worth talking a little bit more about, in that you've taken this walking practice, it's become a whole practice, and I think it's a really interesting one, and one that I participated in. I think it was last, maybe even about approximately a year ago, in June, right? It was the solstice that Craig led a walk that spanned, you know, the entire length of Manhattan, from the very northern tip of Manhattan at the Harlem River, right, all the way down Broadway to the Battery, just the entire length of Broadway, and a silent walk. That's an important concept here, I think, to note. I mean, it's one thing to walk the full length of Broadway in an afternoon,
it's even more interesting to do it without ever speaking. And I just want to ask you a little bit more about, you know, what that means to you and how you arrived at this idea and what it means to you.
Well, the walks in Switzerland, most of them were silent because I was alone. And I found that after about a half hour, it got really nice to not have to think about anything and not to have to do anything, but just walk. And after about a half hour, I usually fall into this kind of rhythm. And my mind changes a little bit. Things kind of fall away. Every once in a while, something happens and it opens up, and I can turn my attention to any detail, any sound, all at the same time. This happened in the Jura Mountains in Switzerland. I remember one very clear experience. I had just visited the ruins of an abbey there, a monastery, and I was walking along the path, and just all of a sudden, everything, it slowed down, and I could hear the sound of my feet crunching on the gravel. I could hear the buzzing of flies. I could smell cow manure. I could feel the sun on my arms. And all at the same time, and I could move my attention to any detail, and hold all details in my awareness. And I wasn't worried about anything, and I couldn't believe I was ever upset or sad about anything ever. It just all seemed so kind of ridiculous to me that I was ever worried. And after about 10 seconds, it was gone. And sometimes that happens on these walks. 3 hours is usually the minimum amount of time. Mm. It usually takes at least 45 minutes to get over the discomfort, especially when walking with somebody I don't know, and even more so when walking with someone I know well. And then there's some kind of being together that happens in the silence, which I haven't experienced anywhere else, and it's not the same experience as doing a sitting together, although that's also a wonderful thing to do in silence.
Right.
I remember I walked, we did the Broadway walk, but I did a 3-hour walk with Yuga Maryland and Ron Shalom. And we went to East New York, and you'll see the video today. That was the end of the walk. And if you look carefully, you can see Ron and Yugram in the frame.
Yugram has orange shoes on.
Okay.
And I got to the end, and I'd never met Ron before. And I get to the end of that walk, and it was like we had known each other for 10 years. There was a familiarity there, a connection, without saying anything that, and I've seen him once since, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's great to see you. Mm. So that, there's something that happens there. It's still a little mysterious to me.
Some kind of bonding, some kind of a connection that develops, I guess, through that.
Yeah.
That shared silence and motion, I guess.
So. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I certainly experienced that during that walk. Although it's worth noting that by the time we arrived at the Battery, there it was only Craig and I. We lost a few along the way, but I think it was designed that way. I mean, obviously that's a big commitment to make. It was a whole day, right? I mean, it was 8 hours.
Yeah, 8 hours.
So there were certain points along the way where people who began the walk knew in advance that, you know, they were allowed to exit, and on that day all of them did. But still, I think there was still something that we all shared, even if they didn't make it all the way to the Battery. But anyway, that's wonderful. So I guess that brings us to, you know, what lies ahead, not only for On Foot Brooklyn and your collaboration partnership, but also just for your practice generally, and you know, what's emerging in the future.
Uh,
because we are complete. This is kind of a completion cycle in a certain sense, right?
I'm not sure what's next, really. I have a number of different ideas, but I'm not sure. I think this feels sort of like this is the kind of the culmination. This is as far as this project goes.
Right.
So I don't know. Great.
Well, there have been 17 silent walks so far, one in Boston, a couple in New York, one in Oberlin, Ohio, and that's something that I am very interested to continue. One walk that I really want to do is the Brooklyn Botanical Garden to the Bronx Botanical Garden.
Nice.
Which is about a 5-hour walk through Queens and the Triborough Bridge.
Only 5 hours?
Yeah, it's surprisingly short.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
I have this idea of the New York Botanical Garden in the Bronx as being like upstate New York or something. But apparently not.
Or upstate Manhattan, as they say.
Well, it's beyond upstate Manhattan. That's the Bronx.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So five hours. That's okay.
Yeah, I've biked most of that stretch, and it's only about an hour and 15 minute bike ride.
Why have you? So this is an estimate at this point.
Yeah, well, it's 2.5 miles an hour is pretty reliable for most people.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry. Over which bridge would you be going?
The Triborough.
Yeah. Over the Triborough. So that's a pedestrian. There's a pedestrian option for the Triborough Bridge.
It wasn't originally designed that way, but they added it later.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep me posted. Keep us all posted on the plans for that walk.
That sounds great.
And
beyond that, right now I just got a new rehearsal space. So Onfield Productions has a new home, so I'll be building that out. And this time, I've also allowed myself to complete one project before beginning the next one. So. I mean, as you know, Music for Contemplation continues, and there'll be Trumpet City in Hanover, New Hampshire, June 21st with 40 trumpets, which is a lot of trumpets playing outside. A lot of you know about that one. And it looks like it'll be in Berlin sometime in the fall. And there's talk about doing it with 1,000 trumpets by the International Trumpet Guild in 2016, possibly at Angel Stadium. And which, if they decide they want to do that, I of course will break my, I mean, of course we'll do that. It's pretty cool. But I do have a clear idea for a next large project, which I'm sure I will let everyone know, and which is, for me, very compelling and is a continuation of everything that, and a lot of the work that we've done together as well.
Good. Well, good. Well, in the short term, then we have the books that are available here. We have the exhibition, which is here for 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. These photographs are here. You can come back and visit them again in different lights, different circumstances, and On Foot Brooklyn is in the books, as they say. But first, we have a presentation to do tonight. So I think we should move in that direction now. We'll have a short break.
And that was my conversation with Craig Shepherd and Beth O'Brien on May 29th, 2015, about their multimedia project On Foot Brooklyn. The evening continued with a performance-based presentation of the project that included field recordings, live instruments, and a photographic slideshow. Let's listen to an excerpt of that performance now. You're listening to the Musical Ecologies Radio Hour. Thank you. We conclude tonight's broadcast with a track from the CD version of On Foot Brooklyn by Craig Shepherd. The work is titled Red Hook, March 25th, 2012, and features Kristen McKeon on alto saxophone, Aaron Rogers tenor saxophone, and Matthew Schumer baritone saxophone. The work also includes field recordings made in Bensonhurst at the corner of 85th Street and 18th Avenue, as well as from Von King Park in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Let's listen now to Red Hook, March 25th, 2012. You've been listening to the Musical Ecologies Radio Hour. For more information, visit our website at musicalecologies.net.